Good morning. I'd like to call the opening of the bids meeting to order. The first order of business, letter of notification. Gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the State of Louisiana, from the Advocate Official Journal for the State of Louisiana, and from respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 41833 through 41849 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. Letters of protest, we have no letters of protest for today's lease sale, and no tracts will be recommended to be withdrawn today. We will proceed with the opening of the bids. Thank you.
Good morning. We had one bid on tract 41833, advertised as 2,498.63 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 105 acres. The bidder is Mark A. O'Neill and Associates Incorporated. Mark A. O'Neill and Associates Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 5 years, with a cash payment of $19,950, $19,950, or a per acre value of $190. Annual rentals are $9,975, $9,975. Royalties are 22%. We had one bid on tract 41834, advertised as 616 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 9 acres. The bidder is Kara Sue Energy Incorporated. Kara Sue Energy Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $56,223. $56,223, or a per acre value of $6,247. Annual rentals were $28,111.50, $28,111.50. Royalties are 22.5%. We had one bid on tract 41835. Advertised as 1,389 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 17 acres. The bidder is Kara Sue Energy Incorporated. Kara Sue Energy Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $106,000, $199. $106,199. Or per acre value of $6,247. Annual rentals are $53,099.50. $53,099.50. Royalties are 22.5%. We had two bids on tract 41836, advertised as 2,230 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 80 acres. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $40,240. $40,240. Or a per acre value of $503. Annual rentals are $20,120. $20,120. Royalties are 23%. The second bid on track 41836 is for a portion containing 500 acres. The bidder is Mark A. O'Neill and Associates Incorporated. Mark A. O'Neill and Associates Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $95,000. $95,000, or a per acre value of $190. Annual rentals are $47,500. $47,500. Royalties are 22%. We had one bid on track 41837, advertised as 40 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Source Oil, LLC. Source Oil, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $10,000, $10,000, or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $5,000. $5,000. Royalties are 25%. There were no bids on tracks 41838 through 41844. There was one bid on track 41845, advertised as 80 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum Incorporated. Classic Petroleum Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $116,480. $116,480. Or a per acre value of $1,456. Annual rentals are $58,240. $58,240. Royalties are 25%. There was one bid on track 41846, advertised as 40 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas Louisiana LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas Louisiana LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $140,000. $140,000, or a per acre value of $3,500. Annual rentals are $70,000. $70,000. Royalties are 1/4. We had one bid on track 41847, advertised as 6 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas Louisiana LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $21,000. $21,000, or a per acre value of $3,500. Annual rentals are $10,500. $10,500. Royalties are 1/4. There was one bid on track 41848, advertised as 1 acre. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Thomas M. Kilgore, Jr. Thomas M. Kilgore, Jr. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $2,000, $2,000, or per acre value of $2,000. Annual rentals are $1,000. $1,000. Royalties are 22.5%. There were two bids on track 41849, advertised as 3.86 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Rick Bajon and Associates. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $965. Or per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $482.50. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41849 is for the entire track. The bidder is Patrick L. Donahue Petroleum Properties, Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $1,177.30. Or a per acre value of $305. Annual rentals are $588.65. Royalties are 25%. And that will conclude the opening and reading of the bids for today. Thank you. That is it. I know, lots of bids today.
15 minutes, that's what I'm saying.
We'll adjourn the opening of the bids meeting. The committee meeting should begin around 9:30. Thank you.
Thank you.
State Mineral Board will be now called into order. Our roll call, Mr. Angell. Yes. Segura.
Here.
Arnold.
Present.
Cordero.
Here.
Diaz. Ingram. Martin.
Here.
Sanders.
Present.
Smith. And Graves. We have a quorum. I hereby convene the Lease Review Committee meeting. Mr. Talbert, would you please present the agenda?
Yes, sir. Chairman Smith and members of the board, I'm here to present the lease review agenda today. All information covered in this oral presentation should be included in each board member's agenda binder. Let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,797 active leases cover nearly 833,000 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 175 leases covering 68,000 acres. Of the 175, there are three leases discussed in more detail. First two leases, State Lease 199, Designated Area 1, and State Lease 724, both in Terrebonne Parish, were part of a 2010 divestment of several South Louisiana oil and gas properties from Burlington Resources / ConocoPhillips, the Hillcorp Energy Company. For both leases, the recommendation is essentially the same. Therefore, I'm only going to read the recommendation on State Lease 199. State Lease 199, the staff last recommendation on this lease was that within 60 days of the December 8, 2010 board meeting, Burlington Resources and Hillcorp Energy would execute an assignment of the lease and have the assignment docketed for approval by the State Board, State Mineral Board and Energy Board. Hillcorp Energy 1 LP did, for this meeting, docket for approval the assignment of this lease from Burlington Resources. However, due to an outstanding mineral audit issue related to Burlington Resources, the docketed assignment was removed until such matters are resolved. It is recommended by the geological engineering staff that a letter be sent out to both Burlington Resources and Hillcorp Energy 1 LP requesting a status report on their activities on this portion of State Lease 199 Basing lane within 6 months. At such time, the mineral income audit issue is resolved and the assignment is approved. All future lease development matters will be directed solely to Hillcorp Energy 1 LP. The Office of Conservation records do indicate that the ownership of the wells on this lease have been transferred from Burlington Resources to Hillcorp Energy Company. So for all practical purposes, Hillcorp is active on the lease. The next one, State Lease 724, as I said, it's essentially the same recommendation, and I'm not going to read through that. Lastly, State Lease 173 at Caddo Pine Island, Gemini Exploration and Rockwell Petroleum are our lessees. Last recommendation on this lease was to accept Rockwell's petroleum plan of development, Gemini Exploration's P&A plan, and that Rockwell would submit by January 1st, 2011, a status report on the drilling of a horizontal well in the Anona Chalk. Staff received a number of email notifications from Rockwell, beginning with the first notification on December 20th, 2011, whereby Rockwell had begun drilling the horizontal well, and by January 12, 2011, they had reached a TD of 5,600 measured depth. The well is now awaiting completion. This is the first lateral penetration of the Anona Chalk formation. Additionally, Gemini Exploration, by letter dated December 23, 2010, confirmed that they had P&A 3 wells on State Lease 173. Staff recommends that Rockwell Petroleum provide a status report on the completion of the well by May 9, 2011, and that Gemini Exploration continue their P&A re-efforts in accordance with the approved P&A plan. That's it from my part. Mr. Bradbury is going to give an update on the force majeure.
Morning, Chairman. Gentlemen. This morning I was going to report on three new companies requiring recognition for force majeure, but the good news is we can remove ORX Resources, who was requesting a force majeure on behalf of Hillcorp. They reported to me Monday morning that they got their well back on production. They were able to access the field, so there was no need for force majeure recognition. Briefly, the other two, Black Elk, and there's more detail in the report. They were originally shut in the well back in November because of just routine maintenance to the wellhead and the well. They have to go out there periodically and check a subsurface safety valve, pull it, make sure it's working. And in the process, sometime they ended up sticking some wireline tools in the well, and after several days of fishing, they realized they needed a rig. So they had contracted a rig that was supposed to be there, promised in late December. Turns out that the company renegotiated a contract with another company that they had to work with, so they didn't learn until January 12th that they weren't going to get the rig that they needed, and because of water depths and things along that lines, there's only a finite number amount of equipment in the state that can actually get into the area to do the work. So what we're going to request is that the board recognize a force majeure beginning January 12th, 2011. That will run approximately no more than 90 days to May 11th, 2011, which is the board meeting, so it keeps the numbers even. And if they happen to get a rig during that time, then the clock will, they'll go back onto their 90-day clock, and they'll have like 21 days to establish downhole operations. The second one that we'll need a board resolution on is for forest oil. These are two operating agreements that are in a wildlife management area. Their saltwater disposal well failed, and they tried various pieces of equipment that could work in shallow water to try to get the thing back on with wireline and such. They finally determined they just had to put a rig on it, and they can't get out there with a rig without dredging, and they can't dredge without a permit. So they finally got through the initial part of the permit, getting, you know, certain things approved from Wildlife and Fisheries, but they still have to go through coastal management now. That's going to take 60 to 90 days. So I'm requesting that you recognize a force majeure beginning January 14th and continuing until either they get a permit or the May 11th board meeting, at which time they'll have 35 days to reestablish production on the two producing wells that are actually shut in out here. There are samples of the board resolution in your packets, I believe, and if you got any further questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Also, were there any questions on the agenda, lease agenda review?
I'd like to make a motion to accept the staff's recommendation, noting the force majeure specifics on item 1A and B, and the exclusion, I guess, of the force of the need for force majeure on item C.
Second, Sanders.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Any public comment at this time? Motion carries. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting.
Move, Sanders.
Well, I think we need a motion to accept staff's report as well. That was included in the first motion? To accept staff's report?
No, it wasn't. Accept recommendations.
Sanders, second.
If you want to be specific, go ahead.
No, either way is fine.
I have a motion from Mr. Segura, a second from Mr. Sanders to accept the recommendation from the staff. Any public comment at this time? Motion carries. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting.
Move, Sanders.
Motion from Mr. Sanders, second from Mr. Sanders. Arnold, Mr. Arnold. Motion carries. Lease Review Committee is now adjourned.
I'd like to call to order the Nomination and Tract Evaluation Committee. At this time, we'll have a roll call. Mr. Harper, Mr. Segura, Mr. Arnold, Mr. Diaz, Mr. Ingram, Mr. Morton, Mr. Sanders.
Present.
Mr. Smith.
Present.
Mrs. Smith. Mr. Graves. We have a quorum. Good morning, Mr. Fontenot.
Morning, Mr. Cordero, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
Previous approval by the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 17 tracts in the official journal of the state and the official journal of the parishes where lands are located for today's lease sale. 65 nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the April 13, 2011 lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. It's the staff's recommendation that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received at this office for the April 13, 2011 lease sale.
Okay, I need a motion and second to accept the staff recommendation.
Sanders
motion by
moves.
Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Arnold. Is there any public comment on this item? Any comment from the committee? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Now I need a motion and second to adjourn the Nomination Tract Evaluation Committee. Motion.
Sanders moves.
Sanders. Second by Mr. Smith. The motion carries and the Nomination and Tract Evaluation Committee is adjourned.
Rachel's coming early today.
Good morning.
Morning, Ms. Rachel.
Good morning.
I'd like to go ahead and take a roll call for call the order of the Audit Review Committee. Ms. Angel. Thank you, Mr. Harper's present. Ms. Angel. Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Diaz.
Here.
Mr. Ingram. Mr. Morton.
Here.
Mr. Sanders.
Present.
Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mrs. Smith. And Mr. Chip Klein for Gary Graves, I believe. We do have a quorum. Hey, Rachel.
Good morning. Item number one is a penalty waiver request from Stone Energy Corporation for a penalty in the amount of $137,758.22 billed for late payment of royalty. On December 20th, 2010, Stone paid the state a total of $1,086,000. $838,292.66 in late royalty for August 2009 through October 2010. The payment was not related to a field audit. Stone's payment was late due to regulatory delays in the formation of the Ship Shoal Block 66 H2 Voluntary Unit Agreement and well name change. Stone wanted to ensure royalty on the producing wells in the unit were paid to the correct LEW code before remitting payment. Stone was billed and paid $31,595.92 in interest. Staff is recommending a 75% waiver because royalty was outstanding less than 2 years. The amount of the reduction would be $103,318.67 with a balance of $34,439.55 owed the state.
You've heard Ms. Newman's report and recommendations. Do I have any motions?
Sanders moves to accept staff recommendation.
Move by Mr. Sanders. Second by Mr. Cordero. Is there any comment or questions from the committee? Any from the public? Do I hear anyone opposed? None opposed. The motion carries. Item two.
Item number two is a recoupment request from Century Exploration New Orleans Incorporated for an overpayment of $36,541.87. The state lease number involved is 19201. From March 2010, Century paid gas royalty based on estimated volumes and values, which resulted in an overpayment. Staff has reviewed the documentation and confirmed the overpayment and recommends that Century Exploration New Orleans Incorporated is allowed to recoup this overpayment from future royalties.
You've heard Ms. Newman's report recommendations.
Sanders moves to accept.
Mr. Sanders moves to accept.
I second.
Ms. Segura seconds. Any comments from the committee? Any from the public? Anyone opposed? The motion carries. Thank you.
Item number three is a recoupment request from Devon Energy Corporation for an overpayment in the amount of $475,882.15. State lease numbers involved are 13287, 14860, 14861, 15042, 15763, and 16676. For the sales months of October 2003, and January, February, and September 2004, Devon paid oil and gas royalties based on incorrect volumes, which resulted in an overpayment. Staff has reviewed the documentation and confirmed the overpayment. Devon sold most of its properties in January 2010 and now pays the state a very small amount in royalty each month. Staff recommends Devon Energy Corporation be issued a check in order to recoup this overpayment.
Sanders moved to. I have a question.
Okay, we got a motion by Sanders to accept staff's recommendation. Second by Mr. Segura.
Second.
Mr. Sanders, your question?
Ms. Rachel, I'm sure that legal has reviewed the documentation concerning this transfer by Devon, and we're paying the appropriate party.
Yes, sir.
As opposed to the successor party.
That's correct.
Just for my information, what do we go about doing that? Even though I'm a lawyer, I can probably figure it out, but I'd like to know what you do.
As far as when Devon sells its property?
Yes. How do we know we're paying the right party $400 and something?
Devon was the owner at the time that the overpayment was made. Therefore, Devon does get to recoup the amount.
Okay. So there was not an issue about the transferee?
No, sir. Not in this case.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further questions from the committee? Any from the public? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Item four.
Item number four is the staff report to the committee that the election for February 2011 gas is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the C. Robin Plant at Henry for the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. Will there be no further items on our agenda? We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rachel. Morning, Mr. Tech.
Good morning, sir.
How are you folks today?
Good.
You ready to proceed, sir?
You want to call the roll?
All right, sir. Mr. Angell, Mr. Harper's appearing. Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes,
Mr. Cadera?
Here.
Mr. Diaz?
Here.
Mr. Ingram? Mr. Martin?
Here.
Sanders present. Darrell Smith? Helen Smith? Chip Klein?
Here.
Have a quorum. Proceed. I was just doing the formalities of speaking to you.
That's fine. I'm glad to. We have a very eclectic agenda this morning, but the first item we want to do is add item 10, which is a discussion in executive session of litigation entitled Gulf Production Company, Inc. versus Hoover Oil Field Supply and Polyflow, Inc. It is a products liability case in which we intervened, and it is not on the written agenda because I was notified of it yesterday. So we're asking that the board add that as item number 10 on our agenda today.
Would you repeat the style of the case, please, sir?
The case is entitled Gulf Production Company, Inc. versus Hoover Oil Field Supply, Inc.
Thank you.
And Polyflow, Inc.
I move to add that item to the agenda.
Second. We have a motion on the floor, and I'm advised that it has to be a unanimous vote.
And has to have public comment.
And have to have public comment. So we have the motion. Is there any discussion by the board? Any comment from the public? Do we have any objection to the motion? Hear no objection. The motion carries.
Okay. Item number one is a request by the staff to rescind the rejection of a bid from last month on tract number 41787, consisting of 72 acres in East Feliciana and St. Helena parishes, by Carler Petroleum, Inc. What happened was the bid itself was a bonus amount of money, which was correct. But what had happened, there was a typographical error in the per acre price, which in the bid form was put down as $101 per acre, when in fact it was $201 per acre, but the total amount of the bonus was correct. Because it was of the typo, the staff recommended and the board rejected the bid. In fact, the staff has, once it was found out that the correct bid was approximately $201 an acre, the staff has determined that that was an acceptable bid. And so the staff is requesting that the board rescind the rejection and award a lease on tract 41787 to Carler Petroleum, Inc. On that 72 acres.
I have a question.
Yes.
Either Ike or are you, is it legally allowable to rescind the law?
The law allows
it to be awarded without it going to the
right. The law allows that if there was a typographical error, okay, and we consider it a typographical error, the law allows the bid to be accepted without going through the process again. We've run it by the Attorney General's office to allow what we're doing right now, and they have given the okay.
Okay.
Also, there were no other bids on that track.
Correct.
Carla was the only bidder.
Okay.
Another question.
Mm-hmm.
I know when we reject a bid, we normally put it back up for renomination.
Correct. But it would have come back, if we have rejected it, would have come back up next month.
So advertised this month. So it hasn't happened.
Well, you would have had to approve it for advertisement. You didn't approve it for advertisement last month, so you'd have to approve it this month.
Which we didn't do during track evaluation.
Correct.
That was left out. Okay. Thank you.
You don't need to re-advertise it if it's allowable.
Correct.
To consider it because of the typographical error.
Correct.
Thank you. I move to accept staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
Mr. Segura second. Mr. Arnold moves. Any discussion by the board? Any public comment or discussion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously.
Okay. Item number two is a request for final approval of a royalty sharing agreement by and between the State Mineral and Energy Board, the Long O'Brien Heirs, the Howell Heirs, and a number of other parties on production attributable to the MIORA SUA unit affecting State Lease 19354. The board has previously approved this royalty sharing agreement in principle, subject to the drafting of an appropriate instrument and advertising, which has been done. The instrument is executed, advertised, and is on the docket for final approval as item number 11-03. And the staff does recommend final approval.
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Mr. Arnold moves.
I'll second.
Mr. Segura seconds. Board discussion? Public comment or discussion? All in favor? Any opposition? Motion carries.
Item number three is a request for final approval of a settlement and release agreement by and between the State of Louisiana, acting through the State Mineral and Energy Board, and Louisiana Land and Exploration Company. This was the subject of an audit on a number of state leases which are in your agenda. This has been approved in principle previously by the board, subject to the drafting of an appropriate and execution of an appropriate instrument, which has been done, is properly advertised, and is on the docket today as item number 11-04 for final approval.
I move to accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
Mr. Arnold moves. Mr. Segura seconds. Any discussion by the board? Public comment? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item number four is a request for final approval of a division order and agreement, which is a compromise, by and between the State of Louisiana, acting through the State Mineral and Energy Board, White Oak Operating Company, LLC, Manti Exploration Operating LLC, and many disputed landowners that are listed on Exhibit A, and this is production from the KRASUA unit in Drake's Bay Field, which affects state lease numbers 19250 and 19550. Again, the board has previously approved in principle the settlement or compromise, subject to the drafting and execution of an appropriate instrument, which has been accomplished. The instrument has been properly advertised, and it is on the docket today as item number 11-05 for final approval, and the staff does recommend final approval.
What's your pleasure, the board?
I move to accept staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Segura. Any board discussion? Any public comment? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Okay, item number five is a carryover from the force majeure recommendations that Mr. Bradbury presented earlier. This has to do with Black Elk Energy. In that particular instance, that lease, which is state lease number 4238, had no force majeure provisions in it. But a policy that was passed by a previous board in 2005, fortunately right before Katrina, stated that when a lease has no force majeure language in it, that the board and the staff would treat that lease as if it had the force majeure language, so that if they were at the moment diligently attempting to amend the lease to include the force majeure language. Well, Black Elk Energy did not have that force majeure language, but they have submitted a lease amendment, which is on the docket today at 11-06. And so because of that, and because of the true force majeure situation, as elicited by Mr. Bradbury, the staff is recommending that, first of all, the force majeure be recognized, but secondly, that the lease amendment, which is on the docket, is item number 11-06, which includes the new force majeure language, as well as the four paragraphs that the board has stated must be added whenever there's a lease amendment. So the staff does recommend final approval of that lease amendment.
I move to accept staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Your second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Segura. Board have any discussion on this matter? Good morning, Mr. Ingram. Public comment? Any objection to the motion? Hear none. Motion carries.
Item number five is going to require a little bit of explanation. This is an agreement that the state worked out with McMoran Oil and Gas LLC back in, I think, 2002, whereby any acreage that was released by the lessee, the sub-lessees in State Lease 340, Mound Point and Lighthouse Point fields or selections that were returned to the overriding royalty owners who had reversionary rights. McMoran had a sublease with those reversionary right owners to work that area. The state had worked out an agreement with McMoran that is entering into on February the 13th, its last year. McMoran has requested an extension of that agreement to further develop. They are developing deep wells in that area, and I'm talking 20-something thousand feet wells. They have spent in excess of $300 million to drill these wells, to do all of the facilities, and to acquire new leases in the area. They are asking, and the staff has tentatively worked out an extension of the agreement, which, again, must be approved by the board. It must be signed by the governor, the attorney general, the secretary of the Department of Natural Resources, the chairman of the board, and a number of people. But in effect, what the extension will do is extend the agreement for 5 years beyond the last year of the agreement. And the way it will work, the amendment will become effective as of this February the 13th, 2011. And in the agreement, McMoran will not drop any acres. There are presently 31,004 acres that are under this agreement. And McMoran has agreed not to drop any of that acreage. They have the option to drop acreage before they pay the next amount due, but they have agreed they will not do so. If the extension is granted, they will pay the full amount on the 31,004 acres, which is $3,875,500, or $125 an acre. They will pay that on or before February 13th, 2011, and a like amount on or before February the 13th, 2012, which will carry this agreement forward to February 13th, 2013. At that time, under this extension, McMoran will have the option to drop acreage, but the price per acre will go up to $150 an acre for an additional 2 years, whereby McMoran agrees not to drop any acreage. Then, at the end of that extended 2 years, acreage can be dropped by McMoran. The price will go up to $175 an acre for an additional 2 years in which no acreage will be dropped. The only way the amount of money can be reduced from what is being paid on this acreage is if non-productive acreage becomes productive acreage. In other words, if they drill a well and become productive, they don't have to pay the fee on it. So this is an extension which will bring the agreement out to 5 years beyond the present ending of the agreement. The staff does recommend that in principle this agreement, the board agree to extend the agreement, subject to, of course, the drafting of an appropriate and execution of an appropriate instrument and the advertisement of the same, and of course, signature by all of the appropriate parties. Any questions?
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Segura. Ms. Tech, I have a question. That's actually sounds to me like a very good deal for the state. Is that a correct assessment?
It is. First of all, it guarantees for at least 2 years a given amount of money in considering the state's position financial-wise and this office's position. It is a good deal. And again, the only way they can reduce acreage again is to make it productive, which would be to drill a deep well, which is what we want anyway. So, yes, it's a good deal.
Thank you.
Are to be honest with you, we can't understand why they're even still there, because of all the years that we've had this agreement in force, and they've drilled, what, 9 wells, something like that? They've had 2 of them productive?
Well, the last well they drilled, they have some pay deep below 20,000 feet, but they haven't completed it yet.
The technology is not there to complete it yet. They haven't.
And this well, the one that they just completed, is actually the third sidetrack of a well that they started drilling several years back. So, and they've spent, I'd say, $50 million plus.
On a well. So, yeah, again, they must see something. And really, these are plays that come off of what they found out in the OCS, which they had some extremely successful wells out there, and they seem to think that in some ways this carries over into state waters, and they haven't really found it yet, but they're still hopeful that they will. So,
at McMoran, they've spent $400 million on 340, and they have yet to find any production other than one early well drilled by El Paso. Was completed around 16,000, 17,000 feet. That's been the only success, and that was back 2002. And they probably drilled another 11 wells, and this last Blueberry Hill well is their hope to get some, finally get some production out there. Well, they've had a lot of success, like Rick said, in OCS.
And that's really fueling it. But again, the type of wells they're drilling, especially the ultra-deep wells, the technology is not even there right now to allow them to produce it. They're still inventing things to carry the pressure and the heat and everything that goes with it. So as long as they're willing to do it, we like to encourage it.
All right, we have a motion. I interrupted the process by my question, I think. We have a second. We have a discussion of the by the board. The public have any comment? Anybody in the public? Yes, sir. Come on up and state your name. We welcome you. Would you come to the microphone, please, sir, and state your name? We're always glad to see you.
My name is Dave Sullenberger. I represent the Oliver family under the state lease, which is very similar to this lease. This was the Win or Lose Oil Company, founded by the Long family. My question simply is, do the overriding royalty owners have to agree to this agreement?
He had that question.
No, they do not, because they have a sublease with McMoran, where McMoran has the authority to do this.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You've had that question before to us, have you not?
No.
Similar?
It was different.
All right, sir.
Where there was no sublease involved.
Thank you for your comment, sir.
It is different. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You're always welcome. We've had further comment from the board. Any objection to the motion? Hear no objection. The motion carries unanimously.
Item number 7 is a request by staff for a waiver of all or a portion of liquidated damage assessment incurred by Matador Energy LLC, West Delta 25, 1 and 3 joint venture, and West Delta 2550 joint venture for the late release of State Lease 10090 in the amount of $21,300. This is, according to the objective criteria, the first offense by these companies. And so under the criteria of the objective criteria for a first offense, the staff recommends a waiver of the entirety. In fact, none of these companies has any assets. Attempts to contact them have been met with failure. These companies are wholly owned subsidiaries of a company that is a wholly owned subsidiary of another company that is a wholly owned subsidiary of a third company. And two of the wholly owned companies of their have no funds either. So none of them do. So in fact, to pursue trying to get this liquidated damage would cost a good bit more than the liquidated damage. So the staff, and because it is under the criteria in their first offense, the staff does recommend a waiver of the entirety of it.
It's a pleasure of the board.
I move to approve based upon staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Segura. Mr. Smith, thank you for the second. Any discussion by the board? Any public discussion? Any opposition to the motion? Hearing no opposition, the motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, sir.
Item number 8 is a request by Matador Resources Company. Now, before you say anything, this is a wholly different Matador, not the same people, not the same company. Nobody involved in the original Matador is involved in this one. This is a financially sound Matador. What they are requesting is to, if they appear before the board, and I don't know if anybody here represents Matador, but they're asking to be allowed to place royalty revenues attributable to portions of the bed and bottom of the Red River in the Haynesville Shale, which are in units, to place that money in escrow pending the outcome of a concursus proceeding. The concursus proceeding has already been filed. It's called Stroud Petroleum, Inc. versus Pintail Properties, LLC, et al. They do that because of the language of our lease, and the staff has no objection to putting the money in, would recommend, subject to this condition. As we know, and as has been presented to the board previously, there is some discrepancy possibly between the surveyed plats, which were done by Mr. Fenstermaker on the Red River for these Haynesville Shale, and what the state land office claims as state-owned water bottoms on these Red River plats. So what we are recommending is that the board allow the royalty revenues attributable to those portions of the beds and bottoms of the Red River that are in this concursus proceeding to be placed in escrow or in the registry of the court. I'm not sure. They asked that it be placed at interest, so that's the recommendation. But that it be the money that's placed on it is attributable to not just the acreage that is set forth in Fenstermaker's plat as being contested title, but also any acreage that's the difference between the total Red River acreage in the Fenstermaker plat and the total Red River acreage as stated by the land office, because sometimes there's a good bit of difference as to what the state land office says is the bed and bottom of the Red River and what Fenstermaker has said is the bed and bottom of the Red River. So as long as that difference, as well as the title contested acreage, is placed in escrow, the staff has no objection and can recommend that Matador be allowed to do this.
So what you mean by
the difference
is okay. Whatever the calculated amount and the difference is,
right.
Put the whole amount.
Put that amount in escrow in the registry of the court. Correct. Right.
I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Cheers.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Segura. I have a question, sir. At the agenda conference last week, I had a note in my file, how long, and now I forgot that was a week ago.
Right.
And I forgot why I asked that, but I had 90 days by that.
Right. Well, what we'd normally do if this is a request, and there has been no concursus filed, we would request that the board grant such an authority to escrow funds for a 90-day period, which gives a period of time in which to work out a compromise, if possible, and at the end of the 90 days to file a concursus. In this particular case, a concursus has already been filed, so there's no need to give a 90-day.
Okay.
You just put it in either the registry of the court or in an escrow account.
Thank you. Any discussion or comment or question by the board? Public have any question about this motion? Any objection to the motion? Hear no objections. Motion is carried.
Okay, item number 9 is a request by Encana Oil and Gas USA, Inc. to appear before the board to present a proposal for drilling of long laterals crossing unit lines in the Haynesville Shale. What this is, right now, presently, there are geographic units set out in the Haynesville Shale Most of them are by section, 640 acres, which will have single lateral wells drilled or spaced within that to adequately drain that unit. What Encana is proposing is, instead of a number of single lateral wells in a unit, then they instead use the same pad and drill multilateral long lateral wells where the laterals cross the unit line. The proposal then is to pay the royalty based upon the percentage of the lateral that is fractured that is in the unit. In other words, if 70% of a lateral is in a unit, they'll pay 70% of the royalty or the product attributable to that unit. If 30% is in another unit, they'll pay 30% to that. In your folders on your desk, the staff has put together some objections that we see to doing that, subject to those objections being answered. We do not and cannot, the staff again, cannot endorse this particular proposition. It is going before the commissioner, and this request is being made to the commissioner to be allowed to do this. And I think Encana is attempting to secure the agreement of all the parties involved. Well, based upon the objections as in the letter that's in your file, the staff cannot at this time endorse the drilling of long laterals. Now, there's a representative here from Encana. Again, they want to present, at least I think there is. There he is. You want to present this idea to the board to let them know fully what is going on and then to make that request. And the staff has no objection to that.
We want to get a motion on the floor before we hear from this. Pleasure of the board. Okay. Thank you, sir. Mr. Heck, I don't want to prejudice anybody, but this sounds a little bit complicated, immensely complicated, and also sounded like it'd be very difficult to audit and fraught with legal issues.
That is one of the problems we had with it, and we have no certain way to handle those issues right now, and that's probably what our objection is.
I'm certainly not trying to preempt the gentleman that's here. I was just coming, sir. Would you state your name for the record?
I'm Rick Revels. I'm with Liscoe & Lewis, and I am here today representing...
Thank you, Mr. Revels.
Encana Oil & Gas, USA, Inc. Encana is a large independent. It has over 350,000 acres under lease in the Haynesville. And we are trying something unique. We think of all the active operators. Encana is probably the most committed to drilling long laterals in Louisiana. And as Mr. Heck has already indicated, you know, a lateral drill north-south in a 640-acre unit, you're not going to be able to drill over about 4,500 feet. What Encana wants to do is to drill out even past 7,000 feet. Why do they want to do that? Well, look, let me just say, if the gas price today was $6 or $8 an MCF, I probably wouldn't be here. But it's $4. Of all the commodities, virtually all the commodities are at historic highs, except gas. We're 50% or less of what the price was just a couple, two or three years ago. So they want to drill longer laterals. There's many reasons they want to do it, but the driving consideration is because they find it more economic. This is a pilot project. Unless we get approval, we're not going to be able to test the concept. And so that's what we're here today trying to get support from the board. We have 98% plus already approving. We've got one landowner left. That's the state. We've got one overriding royalty owner that's indicated if we can get the state on board and have 100%, they'll also be on board. We have a hearing set for this on February the 22nd. And because it's new and novel, we think it'll have a much greater impact with the commissioner of conservation and staff, rather than saying we have 98% approval, to say we have 100% approval. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to convince you that this is a good proposition for the state and for all of the owners, 98% of whom have already approved in writing. Let's look at your first sheet. So I'll try to, I know it's somewhat complicated, but I'll try to explain it briefly. We do have three units involved. You can see on your second sheet that they're north-south. They're a tier of units stacked on top of each other. They're roughly 640 acres. The state has interest in every unit. I told you your exact interest on page one, but to make it easier for you, in the aggregate 920 acres or so, you have 1% net. So about 4% of the acreage, which gives you a 1% net because all of your leases are one quarter royalty. So Encana has already drilled, this is important, they've already drilled a unit well in every one of these sections that complies with spacing. All three are on production. I've given you the production rates. They're all pretty good wells. The lowest was 16 million a day. The others were over 20 million a day. Now they drop off fairly fast. If you've noticed how the Haynesville production goes, they drop off fairly substantially, but they're all producing 4 to 6 million right now. So we've already maintained the state leases. We've already drilled a unit well at legal locations in all of these. We have 14 additional wells we would like to drill. Now we're talking, since these are long laterals, we're talking $11 or $12 million, $160 million project. That's what the drilling and completion cost of these 14 wells would be. And remember, you've got 1%. I know that oil and gas companies' credibility is not so good with everybody sometimes, but let me tell you, as businessmen, you know that Encana is not planning to spend $160 million if it doesn't think it's going to get its money back. It might be wrong, but it thinks it's going to get an acceptable rate of return on its $160 million. So you're sitting here as a royalty owner. You've got 1%. If they break even and they don't make a nickel, you'll get an additional $1.6 million in royalties. If they make a profit, you'll get more than that. But let's say they lose half of their investment and they only get $80 million. You get $800,000 in royalties because you get paid your royalty from dollar one, whether or not this is a profitable venture. But this is what Encana thinks it needs to do. They spent a billion and a quarter dollars last year in Louisiana, in the Haynesville. They got a $1 billion budget, but this is 16% of their budget for this year. They have most of their acreage already maintained. And if they're going to be able to drill additional developmental wells, they want the opportunity to drill longer laterals with the hope that they would make some money. You see on page two, you see those three units. It's Woodardville, a field is close to Coushatta. The acreage that you own is under Loggy Bayou. Loggy Bayou floods every spring. So this is in the floodway. So part of the reason that they want to drill longer laterals, they're going to drill 14 laterals if they get permission from just four locations. Because to meet FEMA floodway regulations and limitations, they can't change the water table. So it helps them to have fewer locations. They can do that by drilling from only four pads. Now, we do have some objections that have been expressed. We met with your staff back in January. They had a couple questions about reporting. That's probably still the most serious concerns that the staff has. You've got a great staff, and they are charged with making sure that the state is paid timely and properly.
Excuse me, sir, would you repeat that last statement? Did you say the state had an issue about reporting?
Reporting,
yes.
Production.
Thank you.
Because of the way, as Mr. Hecks already explained, because of the way, I mean, recognize if you drill and perforate a well across unit lines, you just know that some of the production is coming from both of the units under which the well is completed. how are you going to allocate between those units? We suggest, and we think this is reasonable and fair, to allocate based on perforated lateral length. Now, this is not going to change how production is shared from the existing unit wells, nor is it going to change how production allocated to each unit is shared. It's still going to be a surface acre basis. So if you have a tract, we're not drilling under Loggy Bayou. So the state will have no perforations under Loggy Bayou. You'll still share based on surface acres, but you only share based on the allocated amounts based on the perforated length of the lateral. Now, this is done in Arkansas all the time. They have special rules. It's been successfully done up there for 3 or 4 years. So in order...
In the Fayetteville Shale, yes, sir.
That's right. So this is how you would split production. And the state is concerned, and I think rightly so. They want to make sure that the state is properly paid. We have agreed that we will give the state production information by well, we'll give it by unit, we'll do whatever we can, everything they've asked us to do, we've already agreed in writing that we will do. We're hoping that you let us go forward and do this. We want to give the auditor some money to count. I mean, it's to me, it's a no-risk, no-lose thing. It might not work. If it doesn't work, it won't be replicated. But y'all know last year that the Razorbacks beat the Tigers. Arkansas is already doing this. Wouldn't you rather have operators spending their money here? Let's don't give Arkansas another victory, for goodness sake. Now, I know you may have questions, and I don't want to oversimplify anything, so to the best of my ability, I'll try to answer questions that you might have on the proposal.
Go ahead, Ms. Ingram, for the record.
Well, okay. What was being alluded to there is the reporting. What happens now is conservation reports based on LEW codes. If you have 3 gas wells in a unit, the production from those 3 wells is allocated to 1 LEW code, so you can't tell how much production is coming from each well. So under the present circumstances, as Mr. Rebel said, there is already a well in each unit, which we get the unit allocation. If you drill one of these long laterals and you're basing it on the percentage of perforations from that long lateral in that unit, in order to audit it to make sure you were getting the right amount of money, you would have to know how much production was allocated to that particular well. Well, there's no way we can do it under the system now. Now, they've said that they will furnish the state the production records from each well. But also, there's no way to tell, for instance, if you have a 7,000-foot lateral and you have 5,000 feet of perforations, 3,000 feet or in one unit and 2,000 feet or in another, how do you know how much production comes into each set of perforations? The thing is, most of the production may be coming into the perforations in the 2,000 feet rather than the 3,000 feet simply because of the way the shale is. I don't know how you'd be able to do that, not to mention the way a lateral is produced. It is drilled vertically or almost vertically first, and then it curves out. Well, there's a part in there where there are no perforations, where you won't get any production. And so that particular, and that's a dome, if you will, around the semi-straight hole. So if you're drilling a well in the center unit and you're going long laterals to the other 2 outside units, more perforations will be in the outside units than will be in the center unit. So you'll always have more allocated to the outside than in the center, theoretically. We don't know exactly how that's going to be handled. And again, these are questions we have. I'm not saying we're absolutely opposed. We're not saying we're absolutely opposed. But until those questions are answered, test pilot project or not, once the commissioner approves doing those kinds of things, there's nothing to stop them doing it in every set of units. and we won't know the answers.
Let me just respond to that. If you'd look on page 3, I've tried to answer the state's concern. Okay, one, as business people, they're worried about the center unit, which to me is implausible. Look at your interests. Your interests are actually several times higher, 3 to 5 times higher in the north and the south unit. As a practical matter, you're not going to suffer any detriment.
Well, that's in this case, right, Rick?
Sir?
I mean, in this case.
Well,
if we agree to this and you go and you get it, then in the future, the next one you propose, all our interests may be in the central unit.
All right. Let me try to allay that concern. We don't know that we're going to get it with your support. We don't know that. It hadn't been done in this state. What we're trying to do is make Haynesville Shale more competitive with other shale plays. I don't know if you're keeping up with the rig rates, but they're moving out of the Haynesville at $4 gas. We've got some good advantages in Louisiana, and part of it is we have expertise with the Mineral Board, with Office of Conservation. We have infrastructure. We have people that are not opposed to oil and gas development. That's a big advantage. Just wait to see what the people in New York and Pennsylvania do with these shale wells. But we have some disadvantages. The Haynesville wells it's very hot and deep. Thus, we have no liquids, no condensate, no oil. We have dry gas. And now you see people looking for liquids because we got high oil prices and low natural gas prices. But what about this LUCODE? I've told you, one, that your interests are higher in the north and south unit. The angle of build, we're back building, so that is not a question. The middle unit is actually going to have 14 additional wells that it would participate in. The north and south unit would only have 7. But what about Mr. Vaughn's worry that this will be replicated everywhere? I don't know if it's even going to be approved by the commissioner. We just think we'll have a lot more impact with the commissioner to say, instead of 98% approved, 100% approved. I don't think most people are going to be willing to try to get 100% approval. I have trouble getting even my spouse to agree with me, much less scores of royalty owners. So if we have to have 100% authority and then it's still questionable whether the commissioner approves it, I don't see this being replicated. And if prices go up, people can make money drilling shorter laterals, but I don't think there's any doubt that longer laterals are more economic. What about the LUCODEs? If I drill 3 wells on the same lease, it's all reported to the same LUCODE. You don't know how much is coming from each well. We said we would report that to the state. You see right here, you've got in green, you've got the unit wells. Now, how much of that production is coming from Loggy Bayou? You don't know. The science and technology is not such that we know where every molecule of gas is coming from. The commissioner, in his wisdom or whatever, the custom, we just divided up on a square 640. Is all the production coming equally from every acre in that unit? We don't know. But you got to have some fair and reasonable way to do it. Now, what if we say we're going to drill a 7,000-foot lateral and we only get out 4,000 feet? What we're going to do is, after we drill it, not what we say we're going to do, what we actually do, we would do a survey by a registered Louisiana surveyor. We would place this of record so it would be verifiable. What exactly is the perforated lateral length on each one of these laterals? And that's how we would split production up to the individual units. We're very motivated to give the Office of Mineral Resources any reporting that they want, but we just want the opportunity.
Mr. Ingram, Mr. Smith had the next question first. Go ahead, sir.
What other states are doing the laterals other than Arkansas?
Well, in Texas, you know, they don't really have compulsory unit commissioners units. They mostly do what you would think of as voluntary units. They have long laterals there, but they can create units however they want, all in funny shape. They don't have to be uniform. In the Bakken, up in North Dakota, you've got 8,000 to 10,000 foot laterals. But the closest to what we're asking for is Arkansas, because they have these square 640s. And then later they were asked, why couldn't we drill across unit wells? They adopted rules and regulations, and like I say, they've been doing that for several years there. I don't know if the commissioner's going to do it, and I think we need this 100% authority to get the chance.
Well, how are they handling these long laterals if they cross over existing?
It's similar to what we're proposing. They have what they call a Band-Aid approach, and they actually go out like 560-foot strips along the shape of the lateral, and then they apportion proportionately to the amount of the acreage within that Band-Aid strip in one unit versus another unit. It's the same principle as what we're proposing here. We think that's really the only fair, logical way to do it. It is somewhat arbitrary, but it's verifiable, and you can look at the perforated length, you can look at the survey. And that's how, because we, like Mr. Heck said, we don't know if every perforation is created equal or not. We never will know. You don't know that on a vertical well.
To your knowledge, in the Dakotas and in Arkansas, are they having any other issues, any problems with doing it?
Thank you for the question, Mr. Ingram.
Yeah, they've been doing it for like 3 to 5 years, and I understand that it's really helped development. As far as I know, it's been very successful. Because, I mean, look, guys, most of the units are already, there's over 2,000 Haynesville units. Most of the acres has already been maintained. You either want some additional development or not. I don't know, in Canada, like I say, I don't understand exactly why it's interested in drilling these development wells at $4 gas when a lot of other operators are not. But I think it's definitely a plus for the state, not just the royalties. You'll get severance tax after 2 years, but the property tax, the income tax, this is talking about millions of dollars of pumping into the Louisiana economy.
And that's the problem I have is telling somebody that's willing to come to our state and spend $160 million, especially in today's economy, It makes pretty good sense to me, and while it might be cutting edge, I mean, I think if we're gonna move forward, we need to be the ones who are kind of on the forefront of it.
And clearly, if it doesn't work or you're not satisfied with it, you won't approve subsequent projects. You know, it's not a one and done. I don't know that this can be successfully replicated, because it is very difficult to get 100% approval when you have a lot of parties involved.
And you all have no problem giving the Mineral Board staff
anything they want. Anything we got that they want, we will give. We are very motivated to get state approval.
And you won't be back here in 2 or 3 months telling us if the Mineral Board says we can't get this or that. You won't be here 2 or 3 months from now saying, well, we didn't know you were going to want that.
I'll send one of my partners. No, I'm that.
Lord.
No, I was being facetious.
No, send your wife.
Whatever the state wants, we're going to give it to them. Everything they've asked for before, we've already agreed in writing to do.
Mr. Heck, as it relates to your issue, is there any thought process by which a formula could be crafted or an algorithm could be crafted by how you would?
Basically, what I guess our biggest objection is, this is they're basically commingling three units together into one. There's no guarantee that these laterals are going to be drilled the way Rick is saying every time. What we would like to see them do is go and dissolve these three units and form two units or whatever it takes to match the laterals that they want to drill with the 7,000 foot length. I have an order, an application here from Rick Revels concerning EOG Resources, and they're doing exactly that. They've asking the commissioner to dissolve the three existing 640 acre units and to form two 960 acre units for the development. And so these are basically going to be what Encana is going to be doing. They're going to be long extended laterals, but the entire lateral will be within one unit, not crossing over into two units.
There are other ways to do it. There's clearly other ways to do it.
Got you.
The one that we filed, we're not going forward with if we don't get approval. Petrohawk has tried this before, and they got turned down. We're trying to work through the regulatory framework that exists, and the commissioner in the EOG units, no production has been shared, no wells have been drilled. We have three producing wells right now. The commissioner has made it fairly clear that he's not for reconfiguring units. I go through that. We would, of course, try that first if we could have done it. I don't think that that's going to work. The commissioner doesn't like to see equities in existing production be changed. And so we tried one thing, we tried another thing. This is what we hit upon. The commissioner seems to be somewhat inclined to approve it, but we pretty much have to guarantee that we have full approval. And guys, look, we got 98% on board. If it's good for 98%, we think it's good for the 1% state.
Mr. Arnold has a question.
So this is already in the commissioner's hands. He's been reviewing it in the process of either approving or denying it.
The hearing is February 22nd. So what we hope we can present, and we don't know if it'll be approved. I'll be quite honest. If you tried to make a living telling agencies that it's never been done before, but why don't you give us a chance? You wouldn't want that on a contingency. We think it will be approved if we have 100% authority, but we don't know that. We'll have to present our case to the commissioner and staff on the 22nd. We will have landowner support. We know that already. But I just don't want to go up there and say, you know, we have 98%. That's almost 100. There's a big difference between everybody, all of the owners consenting and some of them non-consenting, especially when the state, y'all are more sophisticated than most owners.
Sometimes.
I
think the concern, I can only speak for myself, I have no problem with the 7,000 feet or with the combining the units. I think the issue is the staff's ability or their thoughts on actually getting the correct amount of money for the state. And they're not comfortable with it yet. I'm not sure if I can put them in a position where they're not comfortable and collect the money for us. That's my concerns.
Yeah, I'm just trying to give them more money to count. If they think we paid wrong, they can make a demand. We'll pay more. You have an interest in every unit, and all of your royalties are the same.
But if the equities change, if we don't get basically three units, everybody, each unit should share a third. It's going to be based on your perforated lateral length. There's no guarantee that every lateral is going to be 7,000 feet. There's no guarantee that the back bill is going to work every time.
No, that's exactly right. But you don't have to.
We have 1% interest now. The next time, after a precedent set, we may have 50% interest. We're not looking entirely at what we have interest in this case is whether or not we think this is a good idea, and we don't think it is. And that was our recommendation.
Okay. But let me just say, one thing he said is absolutely wrong. You don't know if it's going to be 7,000 feet? No, we don't know either. But you're not splitting on what we say it's going to be. You're going to be splitting on what's actually drilled and perforated, and that can be demonstrated with a directional survey and a survey that would be a public record. You will know exactly how long each lateral is, and all three units are not sharing in production from one well. It would only be two. We're only drilling 7 to 7,500-foot laterals. They'll only be in two units, each one of them.
Mr. Vaughn, what he's saying?
Mr. Ingram.
I'm sorry.
Court chair recognized you. I just put him up in the court reporter.
There's not some way that you think of that we could amicably resolve the issue with regards to the figuring out what the state is owed. I'm just thinking of the tax dollars. You talk to the people over there right now that have the ability to make money off of the Haynesville Shale, and I talked to two of them about 2 weeks ago, and they need all the work they can get, I can tell you.
I mean, we're not against this, the extended laterals, the 7,000-foot laterals. We're just saying that this isn't the way to go about it. They go to the commissioner with two units. like similar to the EOG plan, and we'll go and support them in that case. But to go and have three units that are set up as 640s for single laterals, and to try to utilize it with these cross laterals with allocating production based on lateral length, we can't support that.
Mr. Cadera has a question.
I have a question, Mr. Sanders. It's about a lawsuit regarding the commissioner, but I'd like for Ike Jackson to address it, if that's okay.
Sure. If he's willing.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I can articulate it maybe and try to get it focused. And I don't know if either of the Ricks have thought about this as well. So I understand there's major litigation right now challenging the commissioner's ability to have set those 640-acre units in the first place. Don't know whether that, litigation, will result in success, but in the event it does, we're just wondering if there's, has any thought been given to that, and the implications of that in the event we were to do something like this.
Well, of course, thought's been given to it, but what would not change is even if you kept the 640-acre units and the present plan to drain those units is to place, how many wells in each unit? 20. So the objection we have, whether it's agreed with or not by the commissioner, wouldn't change what the result of the lawsuit would bring, because they don't even want the 640-acre units. They're saying they want units that can be drained by one well. Well, in a chalk, who knows? Or in the Haynesville Shale, who knows what can be drained by one well? One of the objections I have is this, and I'll give you an example. Let's say those three units were each had a well drill in it. The one in the middle started out at 20 million MCF a day. The one in the bottom started out at 10 million a day. Okay? What that tells you is that the pressure and the porosity is not the same in those two units. So if I drill a long lateral that crosses those, and I have, let's say, an equal amount of perforations in each unit, that doesn't say that an equal amount of gas is going to go in each set of perforations. So even if I allocated by perforations, I may not be allocating by the actual gas that goes in it. How do you measure that? Because that's what our royalty is based on.
And that's what I was asking you. You can't figure out the pressure of each well. And again,
you can figure out the pressure of a well, but not when you have a long lateral, each foot of the lateral. And so what I'm saying is that if one unit has a higher royalty, state lease with a higher royalty than the other does, then we may be getting cheated on the amount of royalty, even though we're doing it by the amount of perforations in the unit, the amount of gas that's actually coming out may not be the same. So, I don't know how you would rectify that, if you will. If we get sufficient answers to all that, who knows? We may go along with it. The only thing we're not wanting to do, and the reason of this objection is because, as in case law itself, you set precedent. If the state's got no objection to it now, we're going to have a hard time when they want to do it in a different situation, coming in and saying, well, we object to it under this situation. You see what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Without all of these questions being answered.
Mr. Segura, you have a question?
Yeah. I think what Mr. Revels is proposing for Encana is novel, and it's an innovative idea. I disagree with you about Arkansas, but and while I appreciate Mr. Ingram's concern that this could create some activity in the area, it just seems that under this situation, there's the possibility, as the staff has said, for an unfair percentage of the perforations as well as the allocation of the production to be difficult to track. So because of these ambiguities, it may not be fair in this manner. So while it sounds good and it seems plausible that, let's not drill as many wells, it may be unfair not only to us but to others. So until that time, or you can, it seems to be easier to track and not as ambiguous in the manner that the staff is recommending.
Well, I'm
not debating you. I'm just
saying
in general. And so with that, it
look, I had a colonoscopy yesterday, and I was hoping that the board might treat me better.
Congratulations, you didn't tell us in advance.
But look, let me. I don't know. Maybe I'm fighting a losing battle, but we would have done it some other way had we been able to do it. But porosity, permeability, no, we're not talking about any of that. This is not even exploration. It's mining, guys. It's just there's hydraulic there. Fracturing. It's all in the same interval. We've already drilled three wells. They all came in comparable temperatures, comparable pressures, comparable production. We've already shown that it's uniform, and we're only asking for this one. If we need 100% authority, and that's what the commissioner hinges it on, then you'll have absolute ability to say no at times when you think it's not fair. I'm just telling you, look at your plat. How much is coming from Loggy Bayou now? There's no perforations under your track, and there's never going to be any under your track if this thing doesn't get approved. It's arbitrary. We know it's arbitrary. Surface acres is arbitrary. Square 640s is arbitrary. But we think perforated length of the lateral is fair. We don't know any other way to do it. Other places have done it successfully. I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but we'd appreciate your support.
We have some more questions.
Mr. Reynolds, I got one more question.
Mr. Ingram?
I got to tell you, I'm in support of what y'all are doing. Anybody that brings business to the state and wants to come in here and spend money, I'm all for it.
Thanks.
The only thing I'm concerned about is I don't want to make a motion and have it pass and create a situation that gives us problems on down the road.
Right.
If I made the motion to table this for 30 days and bring it back up at the next mineral board, does that...
our hearing is the 22nd. I won't have 100% approval at that time. I might could continue the hearing, but I just say I don't know what to do with. We don't know how much production is coming from each perforation.
We're not in the snowball business here, so I know.
Yeah.
This is high tech stuff, and this
right.
But I got to believe that there's some way with the talent that we have here to be able to.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Everything they've asked us to do, we already agreed to do. Yeah. So the only objections we got were just this Monday, so I had to scramble. Reporting, I'm confident that we can give you all the information we have. And like I say, we're very motivated to try to give you whatever production information you have. And look, when you come back and say, we don't think we've been paid fairly, your highest percentage is 1.5%. So if all the production was paid at 1.5%, surely you couldn't say that you've been underpaid. So, it's just a matter of y'all looking at it, being comfortable with it. And if you think you've been underpaid, all you say is, we think we've been underpaid, and, you make a demand, and we pay or whatever. You couldn't get over 1.5% under any circumstance if all the production came from the southerly unit. I think y'all are in a great position because you got an interest in all three. Why do you think 98% of the other people who don't have interest in all three units have already approved? Yes, sir.
Chair has a question, Mr. Revel. Is it Revel, sir?
Revel.
Thank you, sir. I'm Tom Sanders. I'm sure down at the commissioner's level there'll be data on this. I just kind of guess. Are there some environmental advantages to doing the long lateral?
Yes, sir. By longer laterals, you can drill fewer wells. And we're drilling, if you notice, these 14 proposed new wells are only drilled from four pads. So it takes up less of the landowner's acreage. It allows fewer, I don't know if you, the fracking, I don't know how familiar you are, but these frack trucks, there's like 50 trucks for every job. So there's hundreds of trucks coming in and out. The fewer locations, the more they're drilled. Encana's doing something kind of unique. They have these rigs on skiddable.
Yes.
They skid, even with the pipe still in the derrick, they can skid over 25 feet or 50 feet, spud another well on the same pad. So all 14 wells would only be on four pads.
How about the water? Does it have any reduction in the amount of water we use?
For fracking, the same amount of water would be used because you have the same number, same number of wells.
How about any reduction in chemicals?
No, sir, I don't think so. But there would be much less land taken, and when they're simultaneously drilled and fracked, there's a lot less truck traffic. And in the oil field, the actual driving back and forth with all these this big equipment, that's where more of the accidents happen than anywhere else.
Anybody else on the board have a question or an observation?
I mean, I'm for one, I'm not comfortable.
Sir?
I'm for one, is not comfortable approving this. So
I'm sorry, I didn't get
I'm not comfortable in making a motion to approve. So,
Want me to?
You know that this is, Mr. Revel, this is the first we've, and this is a due respect to our wonderful staff, and you also, but this is right up on our plate today as a new issue.
Right.
I heard about it last week, just peripherally at the agenda meeting that we participated by phone. Well,
the formal objections were I got Monday.
I understand. We're not being critical of anybody.
Yeah.
You're going to find a fair hearing here.
Right.
And courtesy. That's utmost. The way we treat the public and our customers. Is there any major disadvantage to your client, your company, to Encana, if you put this off 30 days so we could become a little bit more informed, as Mr. Ingram is suggesting over there?
Well,
would that be a terrible imposition?
You know, they hope to start drilling in May, but all this is up in the air because we don't know if we'll be approved, even if you approve it. So I would much rather you table it, reconsider it in a month, than turn it down today if that's my two choices. But I'd almost have to continue my hearing. It'll be moot whether you support me or not if the commissioner turns me down.
Mr., in your brief absence, he's indicating that his client might be amenable to a 30-day delay, tabling it for 30.
Well, I got to tell you, I was just getting ready to tell you a minute ago, I wish that you would have been back here two months prior to this so we're not up against a deadline.
And yeah.
And that's not fussing at you, no. Judgmental.
No.
So maybe that's the motion I'll make, is that we table this for 30 days and get Mr. Vaughn some time to come back to us with some suggestions.
We want to have everybody's opportunity to discuss.
I'll be happy to second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion on the table by Mr. Ingram, seconded by Mr. Arnold. Is there any further discussion by the board? Now, let's find out if we have anybody in the public arena that would like to comment about this that might have an interest, academically or otherwise. Okay. Board ready to vote? Is there any... suppose we need a voice vote. You all agree?
Nay.
Okay, is there any opposition to the motion?
Nay.
Okay. Anybody else? Well, I'm going to call for a vote on it then. All in favor of the motion to table for 30 days? Aye.
Nay.
I understand we have you recorded.
For the third time, that was only one vote, though.
About a half a vote.
Is your vote that you would approve it or you would just turn it down, though?
No, table it for 30 days and make a vote on it in 30 days.
Okay. Motion carries.
Thanks for your consideration.
Thank you very much, Mr. Revel. We look forward to seeing you soon. Mr. Heck, you have another matter?
Yes. Item number 10, which you've added, which is an executive session, is a discussion of the case Gulf Production Company, Inc. versus Hoover All Fuel Supply, Inc. and Polyflow, Inc. in executive session.
It's Excuse me just one second. Ask him. You want to ask him that on the record?
Yes.
Mr. Heck, one of the board members has raised a question. Is there any objection to us discussing or anything, any illegality or problem with us discussing this issue in executive session?
Yes.
I'd say so.
I would say so because there's no grounds for discussing in an executive session.
So setting precedent wouldn't be grounds, right?
Sir?
Excuse me?
Setting precedent would not be grounds?
No.
All right. I move to go into executive session for item 9.
Before we go into executive session, just wanted to point out it's 11 o'clock.
Past 11.
You can go ahead and recess.
Let's take a break.
Legal entitled, then start the regular board meeting, and then recess that.
Are we sending a motion and motion that we go into recess?
Mr. Arnold moves to be recess. Second.
Second.
Who gave him a second?
No. Segura.
Nay.
No.
Nay.
Can you do it two more times?
Thank you.
Give them to the lady back there on that table.
Okay.
Okay.
I certainly appreciate you.
No problem. Mm-hmm.
Okay, roll call.
At this time, I'd like to open the regular regular meeting of the lease sale to order. Mr. for the mineral board, yeah.
Okay, Scott A. Orangel, Paul Segura.
Here.
Tom Arnold, Emil Cordero,
here.
John Diaz, Bay Ingram, Robert Morton,
here.
Thomas Sanders,
present.
Daryl Smith, Helen Smith. We have Chip Klein in place of Garrett Graves. Mr. Chairman, do you have a quorum?
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I'd like to handle very quickly item number 2, approval of the January 12th, 2011 minutes. We have a motion for approval of those minutes.
Second.
By Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. Any public comment? Any discussion or questions from the board? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Item 3, adoption of the committee recommendations, A, lease review committee, B, the nomination and track committee, and C, the audit committee. Are there any public comments concerning these committee recommendations for item 3, A, B, and C?
Sanders, second.
We have a motion approved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. Any questions or further discussion from the board? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. This time, I'd like to entertain a motion to go into
Sanders moves.
Recess to handle the legal and docket review committees. We have a motion by Mr. Sanders. Second by Mr. Arnold. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We're in recess. We'll be back shortly.
Second over there. We're ready to go in the executive session.
Make a motion to go in executive session to discuss item 9.
Second.
Oh, 10. I'm sorry. Item 10.
Second.
Hearing none opposed in executive
second.
Session.
Thank you.
but it may be too late to do that now.
But say, can they amend the convention to a third party?
This close to trial is the question.
Well, that would be a ground for
convention. You're ready?
Again, the court may not even grant that.
Mr. Heck, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Need a motion?
Make a motion to come out of executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Hear a second? Thank you, Mr. Smith. Any objection? We always get you to do it. Let's go. Thank you.
Okay. As regards item number 10, the staff is requesting that the board grant authority to the Attorney General's office as its attorney for discretionary powers or discretionary authority to handle the case up to and including settlement negotiations and to proceed with the case under any of its legal aspects in very broad terms.
Oh, so I'll make a motion to accept that recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold, for the motion. Thank you, Mr.
Second.
For the second. Any opposition from the board or discussion first from the board? Any comment from the public? Any opposition from the board to the motion? Hearing none, motion passes.
And I think that's the only, when I promised you an eclectic agenda.
I heard that.
I kept my promise.
You did keep it.
And that is all.
It's interesting. Very interesting. Thank you, sir. Thank you also for your input on the other issue. It's not my show.
I'd like to call the Docket Review Committee to order.
I'm going to go home and keep treating.
First, we'll have a call. I'll call the roll call. Mr. Angel? Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold?
Here.
Mr. Cordova?
Here.
Mr. Ingram?
Here.
Mr. Mouton?
Here.
Sanders?
Here.
Daryl Smith? Here. Helen Smith? We have a quorum of the board. Will the staff present its recommendations to the committee?
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the February 9, 2011 Docket Review Committee and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, no items received for this category. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve items number 1 through item 17. For Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries state agency lease transfers, there were no items submitted for this category. For Category D, advertised proposals, please approve items number 1 and item number 2. For item number 3, approve with the approval of the Governor of Louisiana. And please approve items number 4 and 5. And this completes the staff's recommendation to the Docket Review Committee.
Are there any comments from the board?
I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
Before we do, any comments from the public? Have a motion and a second. All in favor? All opposed? The ayes have it. Staff recommendations are approved. They have a motion to adjourn.
Second. Sanders.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Docket Review Committee is adjourned.
All right, thank you. At this time, I'd like to reconvene the regular board meeting, and we'll pick up with item 3, D and E, the approval of the committee recommendations for legal and title controversy committee, item 3D, and item 3E, the docket review committee recommendations.
Make a motion to approve.
We have
Sanders,
a motion.
Second.
What motion by Mr. Arnold for approval, second by Mr. Sanders. Any public comment? Any discussion or questions from board? If not, all in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. Those committee recommendations are approved. Item 4 is our technical briefing. We'd like to entertain a motion to go into executive session for a brief technical briefing.
So moved.
Sanders.
Moved
second.
By Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor? All opposed? We are in executive session.
Don't y'all have a little fundraiser? Y'all have a little fundraiser recently? Where's that? Have they tapped you some more for the money? Yeah, where, when was the last one?
My mother's got one coming up. They've been around.
Our person that was not all our group in South Louisiana, David Chosen, he had pancreatic cancer. Big buddy of the former governor, Foster, and they raised a lot of money. We raised a lot in Lake Charles.
She's involved in a lot of stuff with Foster, and that's what this one did.
My hurts. Did y'all have one in that yet, Richard?
No, again, I
wouldn't get nosy. I thought, I'm trying to keep it.
Iberia Chamber.
That's good.
All right, at this time I'd like to reconvene the regular board meeting. Mr. Vaughn, would you give us the briefing of the bids?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, on track number 41836, this is a multiple acceptable bid with an apparent overlap. As a result, we recommend accepting the bid of Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services as to the bid of Mark A. O'Neill and Associates. After we finalize the property descriptions, we recommend that Mark A. O'Neill and Associates be granted an option to take the remaining property of its bid minus any property bid by Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services at Mark O'Neill and Associates' bid price. And on track number 41849, we're recommending to accept the bid of Patrick L. Donahue Petroleum Properties. As to the remaining tracks receiving bids, we're recommending that those bids be accepted.
I'll make a motion to accept the bids. Second. Recommendations? Second. Sorry.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Arnold.
I'm sorry.
Real quick, on 41837, what happened on that one?
There wasn't any.
It's recommended. It's recommended. Just he was just stating the multiple bids.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Thank you.
All other single bids are acceptable.
Correct.
Right.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Arnold for approval of the staff's recommendations of those bids. Second by Mr. Sanders. Any further discussion and questions? Any public comments on these bids? If not, all in favor of staff's recommendation of these to award these leases? Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. All right. Item six, are there any announcements?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. For today's lease sale, you granted nine state leases and one state agency lease for our total cash payments of $513,269.30. That gives us a year-to-date total of $24,313,839.95. I'd also like to announce that for the March bid deadline has been changed from Tuesday, March 8th at 12 noon to Monday, March 7th at 4:30 p.m. due to the fact that Tuesday, March 8th is Mardi Gras and therefore a state holiday. So you have to have your bids in for that for the March sale prior to 4:30 on Monday, March 7th. That concludes the announcements.
Great. Any further announcements?
Rick, can you give us an update on the lease revision process?
Yes.
Just because I get calls on it.
The staff had a review of the comments that had been received thus far yesterday, day before yesterday. I'm in the process of, there are some concerns that were voiced. And some of those were the staff considered as being reasonable, and so certain changes are being made, certain language is being revised in the new lease form. We are still awaiting, excuse me, there are additional comments, according to Secretary Angel, that will be coming in from other companies, and when those come in, we'll, of course, see what they are. I don't know how much different they'll be from the comments we already received. However, once the revised new lease form based upon the comments is completed, it again will be passed around to the staff. And if it's vetted at that point, then, of course, we are going to have a public, we're going to call a meeting that will be open to the public to make comments, and it'll be discussed in open, and the board, of course, will be there, or will request that the board be there. But it should be happening, the actual public discussion should be happening in no longer than a couple of months, but we don't know about in the middle of the session.
All right. If there is no further business or announcements, I'd like to entertain a motion for adjournment. Motion by Mr. Ingram, second by Mr. Smith. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you, and we'll see you next month.